Welcome back to the Location Independence Podcast, where we talk about everything location independent. We remain in our real estate investment series, and today we're going to talk about having homes in or having real estate investments in various strategic locations. And so for different people, this means different things. For me personally, this means having Airbnb properties or short-term rental properties in a few different time zones. And I choose my locations based on where I personally like to travel because I like to go to these places in the off season and use them myself. But Robert has a lot of experience in this. And Robert, thank you as always for joining us in this.
Thank you for having me, Michelle.
And so I would like to start with how I got into this. And we're actually going to have this guy on the next podcast, I believe. But a long time ago when I was traveling, I met a retired pilot. He was a commercial airline pilot. And over the course of his career, he started investing in real estate in various markets. So these were, I'm not sure how he chose them, and we'll find out. But he essentially started to buy properties in Asia, in Latin America, and then in his homeland of Canada. And he would, as he would like travel, he would travel between these. And when he finally retired, he actually was able to leverage the income from those properties. He would rent them on Airbnb when he was not there. And then when he would go there, he would stay in one property and rent the other two properties while he was not there. And that passive income combined with his retirement is enough for him to continue to live the life that he was used to as a full-time working pilot, which is amazing. And you can follow his Instagram. He lives the best life, absolutely dream worthy. And it really put me onto something because I've been in the Airbnb space for so long, and I know how awesome it is to have passive income from these properties. The majority of our clients are pied-à-terre owners where they have a property in one city. They're renting it out when they're not there. They're using it on occasion, and they have a home in another place. And so this is just another utility of that. But Robert, you can speak to investing in several different ways. And we've talked a lot about your portfolio in Dubai. Where else do you have properties? Where else do you manage real estate?
Yeah, so I would say that, I've sold real estate in China, in the Middle East, and then across the country in the United States. And the way that we've strategized how we, market and sell real estate, what markets we choose, the type of homes we choose is based on strategically picking the right locations, right? And we pick locations that are insulated, that are more insulated than the rest of the markets, right? And those are insulated by tourism, they're insulated by government, by industry. And when I say insulated, it means that when there's downturns in other parts of the world, these places have less effect from that downturn. So for instance, like Miami, Palm Beach, compared to say Raleigh, Durham, then compare that to Washington, D.C. And those are, three or four of the markets that we're in. And you can look at say Miami and Palm Beach is more like Miami's tourist driven, right? And a lot of it's an international marketplace. Palm Beach is very situated. It's been there for a long time. It's solidified itself as a destination for wealthy individuals. And there's a lot of businesses that are moving into the state of Florida, and they don't necessarily want to be in the hustle and bustle of Miami. So they're moving up from Miami north, which can be Fort Lauderdale, Pompano Beach, Boca Raton, Delray, and Palm Beach. And so those markets are great because of those factors. And then say Raleigh, Durham is a great market because it's not on everybody's list, but it does have great capital appreciation. It wasn't negatively impacted like the rest of the country in the last downturn. And they've got pharmaceuticals, they have university, they have biochemical, and a few different industries that uphold the market, right? And then you go to Washington, D.C., Northern Virginia. It's a very transient market, but it's government-based, right? You have a lot of government agencies, contractors, companies supporting the government. And so that is always bringing an influx of people. And so I focus on those factors because, again, that mitigates the risk of being in those markets. Again, they're also great markets for tourism and to visit and to see and enjoy life. And so I also enjoy being able to travel between those markets on a weekly basis because I get the best of both worlds. And then, of course, we've talked a lot about Dubai and the Middle East and how I feel that's insulated.
Yeah, that's amazing. I guess at the end of the day, some people are looking for the safest portfolio. And if you really want to go for safety, you're probably going to want to stick with stocks and bonds, in my personal opinion. Not to say that you shouldn't have stocks and bonds. Like my investments are diverse. So I have stocks and bonds. I am completely in crypto. And then I also invest in real estate. And so for me personally, this is how I diversify. But within real estate, this is really where I spend the bulk of my investment funds, because real estate is what I know so well. So what would you say are good, like twin, not twin, but what's the word for counter twin cities where, you know, like you're, for instance, in New York or in the US, I would say New York and Miami are great counter cities because they have counter seasonality. And so when it, you know, when it's terrible in New York, it's great in Miami. When it's great in Miami, it's terrible. Like it's, you know, you go back and forth. And so for me, if you want to make sure that you have a more consistent revenue stream rather than having to like have one season where you make all of your money and then the rest are sitting empty, it would be great to do this. What would you say are some good partner markets?
So, I mean, like you said, New York is a great partner market to Miami because of that. DC, it can be considered a partner market to an extent because it does have that tourist piece. And a lot of different people that even live in the United States travel there sometimes yearly as a tradition just to see things, whether it be the Cherry Blossom Festival or it be Christmas time decorations. But then I would also look at California. But again, the reason I've picked my markets is because I'm picking them based on economic factors, not necessarily lifestyle factors. Now, lifestyle factors dictate the economic factors. But for me, I'm not choosing based on my lifestyle. I'm choosing based on what's safe for myself and the people that believe in me, right? And I have to do my best to mitigate the risk of investing as much as possible. You can't invest, you can't mitigate it 100%, but you can mitigate it a lot if you strategize properly, right? And so I would say that, like, you know, California is a great market compared to, say, New York. It's a great counter market to New York or South Florida, because it, again, offers weather that you don't get in both places at the same time. It offers views. You get the ocean as well as the mountains. And so I would say California, of course, is a great market. But I would say Laguna Beach, right? Laguna Beach is something that people have heard of maybe in TV and movies. It's not a lot. It's not like a destination most of the time, but Laguna Beach is very safe. It's got great capital appreciation. It's a beautiful community. They've done a great job of keeping it up. So I would invest in Laguna Beach and I'd buy a place over there on Airbnb.
In Dubai, we talk about the safety of investing in Dubai, and we say you don't really need to know Dubai in order to feel safe investing. And why is that? There's a lot of way to mitigate your risk there. There's a lot of safety points in there. But there's a lot of markets that you can invest that you don't necessarily need to know well. You just need to have someone who you trust to advise you in that market. And so, Robert, there's a few markets that you continue to advise in that if someone came to you, you're a powerhouse of knowledge, you are able to put your name, your reputation behind these properties. If someone was coming to you and said, I wanted to invest, what markets are you able to guide them in?
So I'll guide them in South Florida, Northern Virginia, Raleigh, Durham, DC, and then Dubai. I will always guide them to Dubai first because I strongly believe in that market more than any other market in the world. And there's many factors that we can talk about and that we've talked about on a different, you know, episode. But I would always say Dubai is top of the list. And it's just because it's the safest for investment for your personal safety. And there's so much growth taking place that you're not going to be able to experience that type of growth any market in the world right now. There's a few, you know, emerging markets, of course, that are international. But if you compare Dubai to the safety as well as the robust investment environment that the US provides, there's not many other markets, if not, you know, I would say Dubai is number one that can outcompete the United States in terms of safety and longevity for investment. And so, like, that's the answer. I would just take you to Dubai. And it's because I can guarantee that investment. Of course, nothing's a guarantee, but I can guarantee that your risk has been mitigated the most. Whereas in the United States, there's several different factors. Like, South Florida is a great market to be in. And right now, it's a great market to be in. But if you're in the condo market, there's a huge fluctuation because a lot of these buildings are so old and these assessments are taking place, and then hundreds of thousands of dollars, sometimes less or more, are being added, you know, are having to be covered by the owner. And now these owners don't have the money, or they're selling it at massive discounts. So someone else will come in and then pay the assessment. And so there's a huge opportunity for investment and redevelopment in this market, but you're at a different stage. So you're not at the stage of where come buy an Airbnb and it's going to do great. You're taking a risk because of the condo market down here. And there's not a lot of new condos. I mean, there aren't a lot of new condos coming up, but a lot of them are spoken for and sold. And so for you to get into the Airbnb market here, you're going to probably have to buy resale. And in resale, unless you get a newer building, which you'll still pay a premium for, And again, South Florida is, Miami is on the UBS bubble list. It'll always be a great market because of tourism, and you can always make money in the right pockets. Like, for instance, you buy a condo in New York and buy a condo down here. And then in the condo in New York, people will come up to the New York in the winter because they like to experience Christmas in the city. So you make sure that you make you theme your condo in a manner that would bring in the Christmas traveler. So that way you mitigate your downtime in the season of cold when most people aren't traveling there. And then you do the same thing. You have to have something that stands out. Like down in Miami, you'd get a unit and you'd want to have some sort of rooftop or a jacuzzi, you know, outdoors, or access to a lap pool or a plunge pool, or anything that's going to bring up those amenities. So you can be very strategic in the way that you invest and mitigate the outside risks that are taking place in Florida right now, and even in New York City. But still, it's a high risk, and you have to know the right people to navigate that risk, right? So knowing you in New York City, I would be more comfortable if you came to me with the opportunity, because I know you and I know how you strategize. So I would say, okay, Michelle, New York is a little bit iffy for me right now based on XYZ factors, but if you found the right strategy, it makes sense, because people are always going to be needing to buy and sell and visit, right? And pay for hotels or pay for Airbnbs. So that's always going to happen regardless of what market you're in. That's why you have to stand out. And so you have to be very strategic in the locations that you pick. So whereas Dubai, I can take you and kind of spread you out, and I don't have to be so specific in one area and one type of investment. Whereas if you go to Miami or New York right now, you have to be specific to one type of investment that's going to do well and safeguard you from all the different factors that are taking place around you in this economy that we're currently in the United States, at least.
Right. And I personally, would say, as someone who knows New York well, who's operated in New York for 11 years now, going on 12 years, I advise clients, unless you have minimum $2 million to spend, $2 million US dollars, don't get into New York. Because you don't want to get into New York until you can buy a building. And why is that? The condos, I've seen time and again in New York, the condos is, first of all, never go with a co-op. The only way you should go with a co-op in New York is if you really plan to live and you really want to be involved in the management of the building. But go into a condo, go into buying a building, a single family or multifamily building. Condos, again, they make great pied-à-terres, but you have a condo board to deal with. And the condo board changes based on the tenants, and the tenants change all the time. And so I've seen time and again where someone bought a property where they spent $12 million on a beautiful condo, only to 2 years later have the board vote and decide to prohibit subleasing for less than, or leasing for periods of less than 12 months, which is, for anyone who wants to do a legal midterm rental, furnished rental, or corporate housing with their property when they're not there, that's just become impossible. So and they can't even make it a pied-à-terre. It literally just sits empty now because the condo board decided to prohibit rentals of less than 12 months, which is uncanny. And so in New York, first, there are amazing opportunities. If you have minimum $2 million to spend, you can get an amazing opportunity. Of course, you don't want to buy anything that you're going to see on the MLS, anything that you're going to see on StreetEasy or Zillow. You're going to want to make sure to work with someone, you know, who is getting you these off-market deals. And how do you find that person? I can recommend a few people that are amazing, that, you know, have an ear to the ground and are always coming up with these deals. And when you find them, we were just talking before this, like I found an amazing deal. And I said, you have to be ready to pull the trigger when these deals come up. So I found an amazing deal, great returns. It was a like long-term investment, and literally no one invested in time. And it was sad for us because we know that these deals are, they don't come around all the time. And so when they do come, you need to be ready. But if you're looking for I think the thing that's great about the U.S. in contrast to other markets, it is a little bit more stable. And if you're American, personally, I trust the U.S. market. A lot of the states have really good tax advantages. You're not paying a ton of money. The capital appreciation, you can continue to roll over until you retire, or you can frankly continue to roll it over until the day you die and pass it on to your kids and they can deal with that. But there are markets. It's a great place to start. I have a good friend who will kill me for saying this, but he believes firmly in investing in Germany, only in Germany. And I've had a problem with Germany as an economy for the last decade. And my problem with Germany as an economy is that I don't think they're forward thinking. In contrast, in stark contrast to Dubai, Dubai is very forward thinking. Dubai is planning for the future. Dubai has really amazing goals, and they're achieving those goals. Germany has continued to live on its legacy. And I was just speaking with a client about this. Germany has a strong economy, has traditionally had a strong economy based on the automotive industry. But more forward-thinking countries, such as China, for instance, are starting to outpace them. China, the US, Japan, they're all outpacing Germany in the automotive industry because they're leaning on technology, whereas Germany has remained very traditional in their build. And so similarly with real estate in, now there is real estate, there are some markets in Europe, and I'm not going to give those away. There are some markets in Europe where I think you can find amazing deals, but you need to know which ones. I do not recommend investing in real estate in Germany because, you know, a building that's going to, or a unit that's going to cost you $500,000 is going to rent for $600 a month when you can pay $40,000 in the US and get $1,000 a month. So again, you always want to like learn your markets, know your markets. If you don't know them, find a good advisor. But once you found that advisor, I would say it's amazing to start diversifying your portfolio regionally. For me, a good strategy looks like having real estate in a few different time zones. And frankly, you can have these around the world. So my dream is one in Asia, one in Europe, that's for personal use, and one in Latin America, specifically Brazil. Brazil, I chose for a personal reason. I love Brazil. I love going back to Brazil. It's a second home for me. So again, this is a very personal decision. I know the market there really well. I know which properties make money there. I know when to buy and when not to buy there because the real, it's very flexible. Portuguese real, but the real in English. And so like, this is what it looks like for me. Robert, if you had your druthers and you had to pick in a few different time zones, where would your top choices be up to five?
Yeah. So of course, the UAE as a whole, so Dubai, Abu Dhabi, I would say is one. I would say I like Brazil. I know Brazil very well. My brother, I have a twin brother. His family is very, very wealthy family in Brazil. And I've been able to access great information as well as opportunities there because of that. So I do like Brazil. You can find mitigated risk there. I would say South Florida in the right place, right? And I mean, I would definitely invest in Europe. I'd find, you know, pocket location in Europe, whether it be Turkey or, I mean, Switzerland, people have their feelings about it, but there's a lot of benefit, I think, to investing in Switzerland, especially if you spend $1 million. And the last one would be, I would say like in the United States, there is, it's called Big Sky and Yellowstone Club, like that area. It's a huge,
where are these
very
areas?
So like Montana, right? So
okay.
Big Sky and Yellowstone Club. Now, these places are for the extremely super wealthy, you know, century million, billionaire status, you know, or centi millionaire status. And but I would buy in that area because there would always be a need for a wealthy family to rent it at a large amount of money for skiing, for Christmas, New Year's, and then for summer vacations. And so it's all about how you want to, you know, diversify your portfolio. I would do short-term rental in Miami, and I would do short-term and long-term rentals in Dubai, UAE. I would do short-term / like mid-term in Montana. But like you said it yourself, corporate rentals. Like if you just focus on one strategy, it could be corporate rentals, right? It used to be you could do this with Airbnb, but Airbnb, it's more difficult now. But with corporate rentals, you can literally go into any market, insulated or not, and do well if you buy at the right price and you buy the right location. Because there's always going to be a need for corporate housing on the short, midterm, and sometimes long term. And you'll always get more money from corporate. So if you wanted to strategize around a mitigated investment opportunity, I would say that corporate rentals is your best bet because you can thrive in markets where, say, short term isn't thriving, right? Because it's, for instance, Raleigh, North Carolina, people would be like, why would I have that on the map? Well, huge corporations are there. And a lot of corporations are moving there and they're moving executives there. And these executives need luxury places to live that are set up to with utensils and plates and forks and bedding and couches and TVs and internet and all those things. And so you could do very well but you have to then connect yourself with a flow of rentals from corporate. So you have to be, you know, connecting with the HR departments at these large corporations and figuring out what that process looks like. And you know better than I do. But I just wanted to state the fact that you mentioned a great strategy that mitigates risk from short-term rental and mitigates risk from certain factors in the markets that we're talking about doing business.
Yeah. And this is, I can recommend, unless if you're just investing in a few properties here and there, definitely still you want to work with a property manager. So people who work with us, we already have a list of corporations that we come to us when they need to fill their properties. And this can look like a corporation will reach out to us and say, I have XYZ tenant who, or XYZ person who's coming in for the next 4 weeks. I need a place for him. And they tell me their budget and we send them a property. It can look like having a partnership with Apple, for instance, and Apple will take your property for a 6-month lease and they're going to rotate the tenants. So they're not necessarily giving you any insight into who's there. They just tell you when it needs to be cleaned. And that's also okay because you know that they're taking the responsibility for the property, that the tenants who are staying there, they're on their work dollar. And so they're treating the property very well because their job depends on it. And this is really awesome. But unless you have a larger portfolio of properties, you definitely want to be working with a property manager to rent these places, because as a property manager, we have scale. And so because I have scale, these companies are reaching out to us and we have those partnerships and we're filling this. As a small individual with one property, you're probably not going to fill it with a corporation, unless maybe you happen to list it on Airbnb and they find you.
Yeah, but if I gave it to you, then I could then access your whole network, right? And then I would benefit from short-term or midterm corporate rentals without having to have a portfolio of properties. So that's why I love working with you, is that you have that ability to where you can only have one property, but then you can access the benefits of owning multiple properties, whether it be through access to midterm, short-term, or corporate rentals, right? And then the management of those, and then safeguarding the investment in terms of saying, hey, why would we want to put short-term rental in Miami Beach when everybody's going to run through there and ruin it? And you're going to be spending so much money on turnover when we can do midterm rental in Miami, not Miami Beach. You just go to Brickell, right? And you do short-term, midterm or corporate rental in Brickell. So I wouldn't buy on the beach. I would buy in Brickell and then just do corporate rental. I'd give it to Michelle because I only have one property. And then Michelle, I would access her whole network of corporate opportunities, right? So that's why I love your business model and the way you strategized around it.
Thank you. So I want to highlight, we talk about real estate because real estate is what we know. That's what we do very well. But I've heard of so many other ways of doing this. And, you know, just to get your creativity flowing, there are ways. I know people who own fleets of cars and they move their fleets of cars according to the season. So they will take their fleet of cars. They will, you know, in the high season in New York, they're moving the car, just for example, they're moving, or LA, they're moving the cars to LA. In the high season, Wyoming, they're moving their cars to Wyoming. And I've even seen them moving their fleets around Europe. And I honestly could not tell you how that's done legally, but I've seen it happen. I know people who do this, and it's, I think, really cool. I know people who own yachts, and those yachts, they're moving around with the season. And so people will, they'll dock their yachts at like various points around the world, and then they rent them out for a week at a time, days at a time, you name it, in those various regions according to seasonality. So high season in Europe, they're docked in Europe. High season in Latin America, they're docked in Latin America. And you can really do this with any kind of asset where you're investing in different regions and you're catching that seasonality, which is, I think, so cool. It's also cool if it's a portable asset, cars. Yeah, it's portable. Real estate, less portable, but I think it's, you know, one thing. And so you really need to think, what do you know well, and how can you leverage that, and how can you turn that into passive income? And this is, again, I think we failed to mention this from the beginning, but the goal here is to build up as many passive income streams as possible. And so when you're building passive income, the number one piece of advice I can give you, I'm certain the number one piece of advice Robert can give you, is to look at people who are specialized in that area and leverage their expertise to build your portfolio. But you need to make sure that you trust them. So, you know, I've seen time and again people who go to a property manager and I think, oh my God, this is like, I'm really sorry you chose the property manager. They've just made your life a nightmare. And so you want to be sure to talk to the person, trust your gut instinct, look at their property, look at what they manage, look at the work that they're doing. The number one thing that I ask people when I am even employees, so a lot of my employees come to me with prior Airbnb experience and they say, you know, I manage 20 Airbnb properties. And I say, could you please share with me your Airbnb profile? And if I see 3-star reviews on their profile, they're for sure not getting the job. The same thing, you need to be sure to vet these people. But once you vet the person, once you know, okay, this person is really passionate about what they're doing, they know what they're talking about, you need to lean on their expertise. Because, you know, I've been in the industry for 11 years. I do this all day, every day for the last 11 years. Robert, you've been in this industry since, how long have you been in the industry?
For over 10 years.
Precisely. You can't build that knowledge base in, you know, reading a few articles or going to ChatGPT and looking something up. There's something that feeds our intuition. There's something that feeds our knowledge. I just had a conversation today with a client and they were saying, oh, can we shortcut here and do this instead of this? And I said, absolutely not. You're going to shoot yourself in the foot. And you need that person who's going to push back and say, no, like, don't do it. It's not worth saving the money. And when you have this person managing your investment, you have built passive income. And passive income is the way to achieve a location-independent lifestyle. There are so many other ways, but ultimately, if you continue to have a one-to-one ratio where your work is directly paying you, you're going to just continue to be a slave and you're not going to enjoy where you are. And so as you build that passive income, you're also able to, like, I believe more in passive income as a retirement than I believe in stocks and bonds. Some people believe in stocks and bonds and building up their savings and whatever.
You need cash
flow. I really think, like, what my life looks like at 70, 80, 90 will not be counting the pennies left in my bank account. It will be continuing to live joyously off of the various investments I've built throughout my life. Again, you need to think about how you want your life to be. So as we wrap this up, one thing I want to get into that I realized I forgot to talk about is navigating the legal framework everywhere. And this is something you really need to, if you don't know what you're doing, again, lean on the experts. Robert, if someone comes to you and says, I have $2 million to spend, I want you to tell me the best place to spend it. What is the first question you're going to ask them?
What their strategy is. Is it long-term capital appreciation? Is it income that they're looking to generate through rental returns? And once you figure out what those two strategies are or what their one strategy is, then that'll dictate where that investment will be driven to.
Precisely. And that's because you know the legal requirements, the legal framework. You have the right people to recommend in every market. It's not a problem for you. Your problem should be, what is my investment strategy? What do I want to do with this property? When do I want to get out of this property? Or how do I want to make money from it? And let the experts take care of everything else. You really don't need to be afraid of investing across borders. You don't need to think, I have to invest only in this one market that I live in, because sometimes the best returns are in another market. I found a niche market in Missouri, randomly. A friend showed me a property, asked if I wanted to co-invest in it. I did some due diligence on it and I said, absolutely, this is an amazing property. Why are people not investing here? And so you should be open to it. And this is going to bring amazing things, better things than you could have thought of if you just stayed in your bubble. And this is what location independence looks like. Robert, anything else you want to add before we go?
No, I'll just say, you know, keep your options open to what your investment strategy looks like. You know, of course, we talk about real estate, but it could be anything. You know, I have a portfolio of businesses that operate across many different industries, and I've strategically chosen those industries because they're tapping larger industries, like trillions of dollars worth of market share, right? And if you just take a small piece of that, you can do well and create a great passive income. Another thing, going back to real estate, is like, it doesn't always have to be, do I buy a place and rent it, or long-term or short-term? Seniors. There's a large need for senior housing in the United States and around the world, and there's a lack of housing. And so my brother has a senior care business called Senior Fluent, and they have homes where they're getting $8,000 a month per room. Okay. They're providing 24/7, you know, care, but they're getting $8,000 per room. And we're working on business models for the luxury market that are going to generate $25,000 to $35,000 a month per room. Okay. And so that's another strategy.
Amazing.
We'll talk about it another time, but that's how diversified you can get. Even if you wanted to diversify across a real estate portfolio, it doesn't have to be a house that you can go stay in when it's not busy. Go get a house in an area that is lacking senior care, find the right people, set it up, and then you'll have a massive income coming in on a monthly basis that you can then use to spread across multiple investments, whether it be in real estate or outside real estate. So be open to your strategy and how to diversify it. And of course, Michelle and I are always here to share our knowledge. To me, knowledge is free. I don't mind sharing knowledge and helping people because that's my goal, is just to help people. But if you choose to go further than that, we also have the capability to connect you with the right people or work with you ourselves. So,
definitely. Yeah, I think I'm same as you, always open to a conversation. I have nothing bad has ever come of having a conversation, even if I'm just offering advice to someone. It can spark new ideas. I love it. Happy to have a chat with anyone, even if you know for a fact you're never going to invest in one of my markets. Always happy to give free advice. It comes to me all the time. People bring us properties and say, like, how much is this going to make? I'm going to do the analysis for you because I'm genuinely curious. And so whether or not it's in one of our markets, happy to talk about it. Everyone,
we
thank
love
you
making
so
new friends.
Much, Robert. Yes, definitely. I think this is, it's all about building your network. It's all about having continued conversations. I so much believe in karma. It comes around. So thank you. Thank you again, Robert. And thank you, everyone, for listening, and look forward to the next one.
See you soon.